Earlier this week, I had the chance to speak with the poet Ernest Hilbert. He came to the WDIY studios to talk about poetry, his new book of poems, and his spoken word album. This is Musings. I'm Ken Michael. Ernest Hilbert's newest poetry collection, All of You on the Good Earth, explores the bizarre worlds of 21st century America, first glimpsed in his debut, 60 Sonnets. Critics have hailed Hilbert's poems at once ironic, dark, and witty, containing the full range of human types and stories and nearly the whole breadth of what the sonnet can do. All of You on the Good Earth guides the reader through the chambers occupied by visionary gravediggers, spaced-out movie stars, frenzied dropouts, sullen pirates, and unrelenting stalkers. Ernest Hilbert is the author of 60 Sonnets, and his spoken word album, Elegies and Laments, a soundtrack to 60 Sonnets, was issued by PubCan Records. He supplies libretti and song text for contemporary composers. He hosts a popular blog, everseradio.com, and works as an antiquarian book dealer in Philadelphia. Poet Ernest Hilbert.
I begin with sound. It begins with a line that has a teasing hint that there's something behind it. You know, the famous line is, poems are made of words, not ideas. Just like paintings are made of colors and lines, not ideas. That doesn't mean there are not ideas inherent in them. It doesn't mean you can't contain ideas or examine ideas or question ideas. To me, the sound is absolutely the thing that sets poetry apart from prose. And it's really all about when you hear it on the tongue, when you hear the person reading it, it should have just a richness without being outrageous. You don't want to be too ornate or too poetic in the negative sense. You want it to sound direct, casual, modern, but also powerful in terms of the word choice and the flow of those words.
That's a lot of stuff to have on the same plate.
When I say a sound, to be clear, it is a sound of words. It is something that is in language. And there's a certain flow, there's a tone, there's an attitude. Sometimes by the time I'm done, the thing that initiated it is gone. You're left with the thing that grew around it. It's never a clear-cut thing. It has to be a combination of being inspired. I see something, I hear something, I think of something, I remember something. And then I have to be in a receptive mood for it, because that can happen and it just bounces right off me. My mind isn't open to it. I don't have the physical space to be in. I don't have the silence. I don't have the relaxation. There's too much going on in my mind. And if I can calm that noise, push it down, get it out of the way, have the time and the inspiration at the same time, that's when I hit. If I can write a poem a month that I can keep, I'm thrilled with that level of productivity. I want to put someone in an emotional state, not merely a mental state. It's something else to summon emotions or different sensation, nostalgia and memory or a sense of loneliness or happiness. Those have to come in a bigger artistic way. I've done interviews in which I mentioned that the idea started probably 20 years ago with one of the gentlemen, Mark Hildenberger, who wrote the music along with Dave Young and Christopher LaRosa for this album. We had an idea when we were young. We didn't know what we were doing. And you know, when you're young, you have all these ideas that are much bigger than your ability to actually accomplish them. But it disappeared for a long time. It didn't even go on the back burner. It was thrown out to the back 40. I also have poems that are more built around a rhetorical argument. They're less sound-oriented. I mean, the sound's always there, but they're more of a logical progression in order to get an insight into life and why we do different things. I think poetry can't just be beautiful. It can also be profound by connecting with people on a level that deals with their everyday lived lives. And this is an example. It's a poem called Sportsmanship. And I was questioning, you know, we always talk about good sportsmanship. And we see so many examples of bad sportsmanship, not just on the playing field or the diamond, but in real life. You see it all the time. Where did we get this ethic of good sportsmanship when it comes down to you're supposed to win? So it's win, 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 but then be nice about it when you do. And they're almost like conflicting emotional states towards your fellow human beings. This is a bit of a light topic, but also with a serious concern underneath. It's called sportsmanship. The character of a gentleman rests on his never needing to get ahead. High school quarterbacks pummel losers 100-0 to push personal bests of players, not of teams, whose stats are read by eager scouts and college recruiters. What's really proven on the fields of Eton? Little that would win battles anymore. And what of those who never had a chance to do much but avoid being beaten? Standards decline, true. But who were they for? Not for those who are obliged to advance. Even without gentry, there's still conduct, for what it's worth. and there is always luck.
The poet Ernest Hilbert. His new book of poems, All of You on the Good Earth, is available now on Red Hen Press. More information is available at redhen.org. His blog is called everseradio.com, and the recording, Elegies and Laments, can be found on Pub Can Records. Musings is supported by the Dorothy and Dexter Baker Foundation. This is Musings. I'm Ken Michael, and you're tuned to WDIY, Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.